Firstly, I'm just so thankful that I can get to share this word. Like I said, I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage us. Sometimes the Lord gives you a word and it's challenging and you don't want to really come bring it because then, you know, you can kind of feel some type of way. So I think I like encouragements. One of the things that Isaiah 61 speaks of is Jesus being anointed to do certain things. Some of the things mentioned there, you can read it for yourself, include healing the brokenhearted. It includes bringing comfort to those who are mourning, or to console those who are mourning. To give, I like that the worship band started with praise. It says he's been anointed to give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, right? Those are sort of the things that it says in the Isaiah 61 that Jesus has been anointed to do. And that's what I feel like he put on my heart today to kind of do, or kind of to bring across. And you might be sitting here and you may be like, oh no, I'm not heartbroken, no one broke my heart. Oh, I'm not mourning, no one has died. But if I had to frame it in this way, there's areas in your life that you've stopped praying about. There's things in your life that you've kind of just given up hope on. There's people, relationships, family dynamics that you've just like, this is, or people that you've been praying that the Lord would save and you've just like given up, right? There's maybe job situations you've been praying. I know some, I'm trying not to look in the room. There's some people who are looking for jobs, they've been praying, they're asking the Lord, and then they've just stopped, they kind of given up, right? Maybe even illnesses. And if I frame it like that, definitely some of us are mourning, and definitely there's things to mourn about. And there's areas in our lives, and there's situations in our lives that actually we've given up hope on, right? You could call them dead areas or dead situations, family members, relationships, all that, right? Technology sometimes. Okay, whatever it is, when framed that way, you can see just how many of us could be mourning right now in this place. Right? These places, if you can go there right now in your heart, in your mind, you know these things. There's so many of us who might have a spirit of heaviness in that area, in that specific thing. So I titled this message, He is God of Restoration. I just made that up now. I told Odin I'll make it up on the spot. He's the God of Restoration. And I think the Lord's been doing that since we were praying. That's the word that was coming. I had a different title. Help me preach to your neighbor right now. Say neighbor. What can your God do? No, say it like you actually challenge them. What can your God do? No, guys, you gotta add a bit of Nigerian in there. I don't know if you know. Nigerians ask you a question, but it's actually a statement. What can your God do? You know, you gotta give it. Do it one more time for me. Just do it one more time. What can your God do? But challenge them. Love it. Okay, cool. So I'm mainly going to be in Ezekiel 37. So we're just going to read it all together. Odin, if you can bring that up. I'm going to read 14 chapters. I hope that's not too bad. That's not too many. 14 verses. Sorry. Robin was ready. I said chapters. She's like, praise God, let's go. It is church. I'm not going to apologize for how many scriptures we read. Okay, cool. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I said as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling of the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe, and our breath and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. So I'm just going to pull out a couple of things. So I had us read through that, because I know a lot of us don't bring the Bible, so it's good that we have that. So in verse 2, it says there that if we can go there, verse 2, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. Verse 2, then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry, I think that's what he says. And as I read that, my first point here being, God sees your valley of dry bones, right? And he wants you to see it as he does. If you read there in verse 2, he causes him to pass by all of them. And I was asking, Lord, why didn't you just give him a glimpse? And he sees. Actually, he wanted him to acknowledge, hey, this valley is dry. I think as Christians, sometimes we have a lot of ways of bypassing hard things. Like, yeah, we haven't eaten for 3 days, but praise God, I had an apple. Because it's a hard thing, right? That's a silly example. I like some people find it funny. But there's kind of things. Have you ever spoken to somebody and you're just like, I'm one of them. Sometimes it's just like, I'm like, there's this thing, but I'd rather talk about how good God is, right? Instead of actually seeing the bones. Because God is not scared of the bones. God is not scared of that dark place, that hurt, that pain, that disappointment, right? So he has Ezekiel walking through them, right? One, because he wants Ezekiel to acknowledge and see that, right? How dry the bones are. But also his perspective. Remember, as Ezekiel, a person, he's only seeing these bones here, right? But God being up here, he sees this whole thing. And so he lets him walk through. Just see, right? Because God's perspective is very different from yours. Sometimes your view is so skewed by that pain or that disappointment that even when you pray, right, you're praying your will, you're praying your thing because you're only seeing here. Yeah? And Jesus wanted him, okay, come see the bones. See it from my perspective, right? God is not scared of your bones. He's not scared. He wants you to see him and acknowledge it, right? You don't have to bypass anything. Note that Ezekiel says that the bones were very many, right? That can speak to whatever area. Sometimes it's different valleys, right, in your life that has many bones, right? And he sees that and he says very many. And then he says they're very dry. And that speaks to the longevity, how long those bones were there. They were very dry. And sometimes we're facing things that are almost generational, right? And you just look at this like, yo, my mom's mom had this issue with this person, and then me also. And you're just like, ah, no, dry bones, very dry, right? It's been like that for years. It's been like that in our family. Or it's been like that, this situation, this sickness that I've had, right? Ah, it's I can see it just comes down. Oh, I've had it for so long. I've been praying for so long, right? Very dry, right? And again, the Lord wants him to see that and acknowledge it. God doesn't want you to bypass it. It's because you believe in him, because he sees it, right? He wants you to be honest about your pain and your disappointments and your hurts. If you read the Psalms, David was the one, you know? One moment, he's like, oh, God, right? And the Lord doesn't rebuke him. It's just like you don't see anywhere like, oh, you have rebuked me because of my emotions or anything like that, right? So bring your pain to the Lord. I think that's my point there, right? Secondly, I want us to note the question that God asked Ezekiel. Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? Oftentimes, in the areas of our lives where there's dead bones, all we actually see is the bones. and the broken relationships, the hurt feelings, the stuck in the cycle, the long wait, the family dynamics. And if you're honest, we look at the bones in the valley and we don't see God. We don't see God. This question was not a question of what do you think. Actually, God was asking, what do you believe about me in this moment? Or in this situation, or in this valley, or in this dry bones season, or this place, right? It's actually, this question is more like what he asked Peter. Peter, what do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Right? It's likened to that, right? It's likened to like asking blind Bartimaeus, hey, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, he's blind, of course. But no, he's drawing something out of him, right? Note the Son of Man, right? Human being. This is not the title that Jesus has. Jesus' title is the Son of Man. This is just Son of Man. Human being. What do you believe about me? That's what God is saying there. In this moment, in this place of dry bones. And I like Ezekiel's response. We don't see Ezekiel bypassing it. Like, he is very honest. When he says, O Lord God, you know. The O Lord God is acknowledging his sovereignty. Like, God, you're great. You're great. And still saying, you know. He didn't say, oh, Lord, you're great. Yes, you can. Yes. He's actually saying, Ish, I. You know? In, like, with his physical eyes. God doesn't want you to be fake. Like, faith, like, you can have faith in God and still be like, oh, this is hard. Or, I don't know. Right? Those two can coexist. Right? And that's the honesty that I really like about that. And so Ezekiel does that. And the point here for me being that the question is about what do you believe about God in that situation. A lot of us are in our heads about the situation, the valley of dry bones. You just think, oh, these bones are very dry, very, very dry. Or, these, you know, it's been like this for years or whatever. Like, I've been praying, praying. But Jesus is asking you, like the question I asked at the beginning, right? What can your God do? What can your God do in that situation? Do you believe your God is the kind of God that, oh, in that situation is just like you, just all over the place, just looking at the bones, right? Trying to analyze or thinking just how impossible it is. Matthew 19:26, it says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, O Son of Man, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Guys, that's the God that you serve. That's the God that you say saved you. That's the God that you say, oh, you come into church here to worship. With God, all things are possible. All things. All things. All things, church. No, you guys are too quiet. Please speak to your neighbor. Tell them all things.
All things.
No, say it like you mean it. All things.
Things.
Now, you guys are not saying. Say all things. Third point, dry bones need something more than just your prayer requests. Dry bones need something more than just your prayer requests. That's in verse 4. And yes, don't go tell Andrew, Marvin said you shouldn't pray. No, I'm saying it needs more than just your prayer requests. Pray, definitely pray. Pray for those dry bones. Pray for everything that's happening there. But in your prayer, you need to find God's word for that situation or area in your life. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, all dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes you're in that situation or you think about the situation, but you don't know what the Lord is saying. And interestingly, we are probably the most privileged Christians, right? We have the Logos and the Rhema. You can hear what the Lord has said already in the written word, right? And the Holy Spirit is there to say, in the situation, do this. Or in the situation, you're going to have to fast. In the situation, you're not just going to go 21 days. No, you're going to go 40. I'm joking. But he can say that, right? We have like a privilege to have what is written and we have the Holy Spirit. So what is God saying? What is God saying? In your valley of dry bones, what is God saying? That situation that looks impossible to you, what is God saying? And if you don't know that, then that's where you start. And that's where you fight. That's where you stay until you know what God is saying about the situation. What scripture do you know about your situation? It's written. You before you even go to the Holy Spirit, it is written. Jesus, when he was dealing with the enemy, he didn't ask the Holy Spirit, oh, Lord, now what's in this? No, he said, it is written. He knew what was written about that specific situation. Some people, including me, like, we in the situation, and there's so many scriptures about them. But even in our prayer, I can't even remember one when I'm... And I'm like, Lord has already made it so easy for us, right? He's so gracious. He's given us his word already, right? Before you get to prophecy, what is his word saying about that situation? This is grown-up Christianity, I know, right? It's easier to come, Robs. Please pray for me, right? What is the Lord saying, Tony? This is happening, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then Tony has to counsel and counsel and counsel. But if you come to Tony, hey, Tony, I was praying, and the Lord said, I believe the Lord said this, and you come, you submit it. Tony will just 2 minutes with you and he leaves because he knows God has you. God is dealing with you. You are dealing with God. You're working it out with him, right? And I guess that is a grown-up. Is this a grown-up thing? But not really. I believe like Sunday school kids have the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit, right? They can read the word, the ones that can read. The Lord can speak to them. So it's not really grown-up. That's actually basic. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Not as he felt, not as he would like it to be. I've been in places where they declare stuff. They declare the word of God. And I actually believe in declarations. The Lord has used me to declare certain things or has told me, declare this, say it, say this, right? But it's the word of God. It's often for me, and what I've seen is not declaring your will or your flesh. Be careful here, bro. You have to declare the word of God over that situation, but make sure it's what God is saying. This person is sick. I declare you're going to get healed. The Lord has not told you that. That person, right, if they're not hearing from God, it takes that and holds it. Like, yeah, God said. Now you made God a liar, right? So it has to be whatever you declare, listen to God. Let him say it to you. Let him put a scripture in your heart, right? Pray that scripture out. Say that if he's telling you to say it. But it has to be the word of God. It has to be the word of God. Fourthly, the real and ultimate difference is from and of the Spirit of God. It's from and of the Spirit of God. You'll find that from verse 5 and 6 and 9 and 10. Guys, you have to invite the Holy Spirit into that area, into that valley of dry bones. So I know I'll give you like four scriptures, just whatever. It's speaking about the same thing. The one is talking about the breath, and then the Lord speaks about pouring your spirit, and it's talking about the same thing. You have to invite the Holy Spirit into that area. The life of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the strategy, the idea, the vision of the Holy Spirit, the understanding, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, not yours. You've been trying. You've given up. Or you look at it and you're like, no, forget this. Right? But you never ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, you who is above, we've been singing songs about how great he is. And I was like, the Lord is so awesome because he's just trying to lift our gaze. Like, lift your gaze from that situation, that thing. Just look to God, right? He's trying to do that because, right, he has the strategy. He has the way to navigate that situation. Sometimes it's sin. And you've been struggling with the sin for so long, right? And you and I ask you, hey, what's going on? Da, da, da. You tell me it's a sin, it's a sin. I'm like, okay, have you asked the Lord? The Lord has a strategy for you to come out of that cycle, to come out of that sin, right? Because the enemy, right, he wants you to think that sin is it. Like, and it got you and it got you, right? Like, he wants that to be your identity, right? That cycle that you're in, that place that you're stuck in, that depression, right? Because he actually wants you to get depressed, right? Whatever disappointment, you know, the scriptures talk about how hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? So you've been praying, you're hoping for this, and then you see like it's not coming through, right? And then what happens? You give up. Somebody talks to you about it, you start getting bitter. Somebody says something, it's hard, like your heart gets sick, right? And that's where actually the enemy wants to get you to. But you have to lift your gaze, church. You have to lift your gaze. And you have to lift your gaze because the ultimate difference is from and of the Holy Spirit. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And it will be given to you. Sometimes the situation that you're in, the Lord has the wisdom for you. It might be a family dynamic that you just don't, I don't know how to approach this person, I don't know how to talk to this person. Lord, what are you saying? I need the wisdom. I need the wisdom. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know, whatever your situation is. Ask the Lord. He gives generously. And wait for it. I think sometimes if you look at this thing, Jesus said, he says, this is what I will do. And then you see there's a process. There's a sinews that first come into play, onto the bones. He doesn't just give it breath first time, right? Sinews and like flesh. And then, right? Sometimes the Lord works that way, right? Sometimes it's like, hey, listen, you're going to have to keep pressing. You're going to have to persevere a bit more, right, in the situation. Because I want to put my breath there, but these things have to happen first, right? Lastly, the Lord's heart is for his people. It's full of mercy and it's full of love. He says, O my people, in verse 13 and 14, he says, O my people, twice. It's a heart of like, O my people. And that's his heart for you right now. You guys are here. The reason he gave me this message is actually for you guys to know that he loves you, that he has mercy for you, right? That's his heart for you right now. He's for you, not against you, right? These things, like, we can lose sight of when we are in the muck or when we think about that situation. He's for you, not against you. Romans 8:31, I don't think I gave it to you. I didn't. But it basically talks about what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Church, do you know that God is for you right now? Do you know that God is for you? Not neutral. He is for you. Right? He is for you. For you. He's not just standing there looking at that situation. He's like, no. He's there. Right? He want, like, hey, let's do this. Right? I want to come in. I want to. That's his heart. Right? Be encouraged, church. The Lord today sent me to tell you guys, like, he sees that situation. He sees that valley of dry bones, or those valleys. Sometimes it's multiple places, dry bones, right? But he sees, he's there. He's like, come to me. My heart is for you. My heart disposition is for you. Let's work. Come closer, right? And then John 10:10. I think this, Jesus gave me this, I think, at the last bit. And it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I think some of those valleys the valleys of dry bones in your life, it's actually Satan. He's actually done it, right? And you've been a place where you're like, oh, okay, you've left it, right? He's gotten victory over that situation or that area or that valley, right? But here's what Jesus says: I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly, abundantly. More abundantly. Your family dynamics, more abundantly. Your victories in the Lord, more abundantly. Your work situation, more abundantly. That sin that just keeps tripping you up, more abundantly. Victory, right? Because Jesus died for you. He left heaven and he was like, I'm going to come for you. Because you can't do this by yourself. You've proved it in your life. You know yourself. He came. He bled, he died, and then he did this. He resurrected. And I think that's my last point. Jesus resurrected from the dead. So those bones, it's nothing for him to resurrect them. It's nothing for him because he's already paid it. If you're sitting here and you are those, all my people, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are the one that he's talking to there. All my people. I wish like, yeah, I wish you guys could hear him. Because that all my people, you can read it and it's just like intellectual, but it's a loving, all my people, right? It's one of those. So if you're here and you know Jesus, be encouraged. He knows your situation, he knows what you're going through, he knows those valleys of dry bones, right? And he wants to help you out of it, he wants to help you through it, he wants to resurrect, he wants to restore. But if you're here, and you've never given your life to the Lord, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today, Jesus is saying you're here so that you can come. Come and watch me resurrect. He first resurrects us. The scripture talks about him putting his spirit in you, right? And that's where it starts. He puts his spirit in you first. And then he starts working in the different areas, valleys of dry bones. If you're walking with if you've been walking with Jesus for some time, you'll find this to be true. It's like there was valleys here, and then now he gets you there, and then there's some valleys here, and right? And he just keeps doing that. But it first starts with you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You knowing that you are a sinner and that you need God Almighty. He's all-powerful and he loves you so much. And I think that's what I want to like end with. Jesus right now is calling you to himself. He's calling you to himself. I want to pass on the mic, but I also feel like we should pray.